Thank you,
Susie. Came across a story about a rehabilitation counselor who, after years of working, decided to take an early retirement in order to invest the rest of his life in preaching and sharing of the Word. One day while he was speaking with an audience, he told how early in his career he had found a young boy with several birth defects. And so part of his job, he arranged for financial help, for medical help. So skilled surgeons were able to come in and restore the child's facial appearance. Trained therapists taught him how to speak properly and to walk on his own. By his teens, the boy was able to take part in all the activities of other young people around him. As he was addressing the crowd, he asked them a question. What do you think has become of this young man? Well, one person guessed that since the young man had overcome such physical deformities, that maybe he had dedicated himself to becoming a great athlete. Someone else piped up and thought, well, since his life had been changed by medical doctors, he probably went on to become a skilled surgeon. Finally, the gentleman piped up and said, no, none of these things, actually. The young man is in prison, serving a life sentence for murder. We were able to restore his physical features and his ability to walk and to act, but we failed to teach him where to walk and how to act. He said, I was successful in helping the boy physically, but I have failed to help him spiritually. And from that day on, I have determined to use the rest of my life to help people direct their steps and actions toward glorifying God. Today we're going to talk about the role of teacher in the life of the church. Now, how many of you would say that you're a teacher? That you feel called to that? That you have a gift or that it's just a part of who you are? Yeah, there's a few hands. Now, the reality is all of us on one level or another are teachers. Can you agree with that? I mean, if you're a parent, are you a teacher? I mean, the home is God's focused learning laboratory. That's the way that God designed it, right? The main responsibility for teaching of children comes to the parents in the home. So the reality is, if you're a parent, you have been or are in the future will be a teacher in that context, if you're going to parent anyway. So all of us, to a degree or another, fit in whether it's that category or if you have a spouse, right, wives? You have a lot to teach your husbands, don't you? I'm just speaking from experience, not as a wife, no. From receiving the wonderful teaching of a loving and patient wife. But all of us, to a degree, are teachers. I mean, if you work in a job anywhere, you have to learn, but at the same time, you begin by teaching or begin to teach others who are following along. So it's important as we talk about this morning to keep that aspect of it in mind. But at the same time, I believe that God specifically and intentionally calls some people to the role of teacher within the life of his church and for a specific purpose. Today is Pentecost Sunday, where we remember and recognize the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the birth and the formation of the church of Jesus Christ, where he breathes that fire within each of us. And so when the Holy Spirit is moving and working in us, out of that will grow opportunities to teach others as well. And it isn't always things that we think we should teach or have to teach. The reality is God will move us and use us in ways that we can't even imagine. We must remember in the life of the church that God is interested in the whole person. Amen? In the body, the mind, and the soul. Paul refers to the church as a body. And just as there are many parts in the body, so too there are many parts of the church. And God gifts these many parts to help make sure that his body stays healthy and functional and effective in the ministry that he leads us to. And ultimately, we remember that Christ is the head of the church. He is the one that is directing all of these parts. So far, we've looked at a different passage from Paul about the different functions of the body. And then we've looked at also Ephesians 4, where he makes us aware of these specific gifts that Christ gives the church. That of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And today, we're going to wrap this series up by talking about the role of the teacher and how the teacher helps to keep us grounded in the Word, which is our very first point if you're following along in that bulletin outline. In the life of the body of Christ, teachers help us stay grounded in the truth and focused on good doctrine. Grounded in the truth, capital T, I know they're all capped up there, but capital T, truth, and focused on having good doctrine. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Be diligent to present yourselves or yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Paul, as he's instructing Timothy, says that he has to be diligent in making sure that he handles the truth well. I know for some this may seem overwhelming, like way too lofty of a goal. But for others, I think that there's a draw. There's an excitement that comes with studying the Scriptures, with digging in deeper, with discovering truths that maybe seem a little bit hidden, or learning new things when the Holy Spirit reveals something in the Word that you hadn't seen or known before. If that's the case, then you have the heart of a teacher. You have this gift that God places within you. Now, in this context, when we're talking of a teacher, we're specifically talking about the role of the teacher in the life of the church. And the biggest role in that is making sure that we stay rooted in God's Word, that we remain true to sound doctrine. Susie, I thank you for your introduction and reminding us of certain teachers who have been a part of the life of this congregation. And it's funny, when you were talking about Eunice Candle, she never taught me the flannograph. But as soon as you said her name, I knew exactly where you were going, because I've heard that from so many different people, that how Eunice could teach and tell these stories of the Scriptures with the flannograph. How many of you don't know what flannograph is? I'm just curious. Yeah. Some of you do. Of course, the whole back row there with the youth. Yeah. So before there was PowerPoint, there was flannograph, right? So a big a piece of flannel fabric, and then there were small characters that were cut out, and they would move those around almost like Velcro on the flannel background and tell the story. Isn't that cool? I think that's great. I actually remember when I went to VBS in Phoenix, Arizona, they were still using flannograph. That means I'm pretty old, doesn't it? Thank you, Jacob. So, Timothy is being encouraged to remain true to the word of truth and to help develop and make sure that there is a sense of sound doctrine. Now, doctrine are those core beliefs. So you can see that this is extremely important if you have Paul writing to Timothy about it in the early church. And as we continue to see the breakdown of sound doctrine in the world today, we become more and more aware of the importance of teachers who will keep us grounded in the Word of God. As Jesus teaches about the end times in Luke 21, his disciples ask him how we will know that the end is near. They question him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See to it that you are not misled." It's one of the first things that he says. "See to it that you are not misled. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately." Peter warns of false prophets too in 2 Peter 2. He says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So we see, again, the importance of teachers keeping grounded in the Word of God and having sound doctrine. In Titus 2, which Susie read for us earlier, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Not only does the teacher keep us grounded in sound doctrine, but the next point, the teacher is also an important part in helping to develop a hunger for the Word. You know what I'm talking about, right? Somebody who is really gifted as a teacher is able to take the Word of God and make it something that we just want to hear a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Or it's a matter of, oh wow, I didn't realize that. Tell me more about this passage. I hadn't seen that before. There's a sense of excitement that kind of wells up. There's a desire to see it and understand it more. Why is this important? Because it is through the Word that we learn to know Jesus. I have a typo in my notes. It's through the Word that we learn to know Jesus. Amen. And it is through the Word that we are set apart for Christ. There is this relationship between the Word of God and having a relationship with Jesus. If we want to have a relationship with Jesus, then we have to know the Word, because it's in the Word of God that we begin to know Jesus. This just comes to mind now, so I'm going to test it on you, this illustration or this analogy. It seems kind of funny in our day and age to think about marrying somebody that we've never gone on a date with. Now, culturally, years ago, that would be kind of okay. I mean, that'd be the norm, an arranged marriage. But in our way of thinking, in our culture, that seems kind of silly, doesn't it? You got to date somebody. You got to get to know them before you make that decision to commit your life to them, right? Well, how do we get to know Jesus? So here's an idea. Here's a thing to consider. That when you open the Word of God, in essence, you're going on a date. You're getting to know, you're learning to know who Jesus is, because we understand that the Word, or that Jesus is what? The Word become flesh. It's through the Word that God sets us apart for Him as well. It's interesting how in John 17:17, as Jesus is praying for us, He says, "Sanctify them in the truth." Sanctify means to set apart. Set my people apart, Jesus says, in the truth. And then He defines what truth is. Your Word is truth. In the Old Testament, the psalmist David speaks as one who has a passion for the Word of God. How blessed, in Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. This is the gift, if you will, of the teacher, because the teacher loves to be in the Word, loves to learn to know Jesus better, loves to meditate on the things of God, not so that they can hold on to it, so that it can flow out of them to help others begin to see who Jesus is, to help others begin to understand how God is working in their life. The teacher helps to plant those seeds in others to hunger for God. The next point, the teacher stays focused on Jesus and helps others come to know Him more fully. Today is that day of Pentecost. And again, when Jesus was preparing the disciples for that day, first for His death, but then for that time of resurrection, He, in John 14:6, says to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the gospel. Amen. In the body of Christ, if anything else is preached, then it must raise some questions. Because at the heart of all the scriptures, we find Jesus. Jesus healing, Jesus moving, Jesus rebuking, Jesus inviting, Jesus destroying, and Jesus restoring. All of this comes through all of the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We cannot separate them. We cannot deny one and say that it's all just in the other, because it's all pointing to Jesus. The teacher of the Word of God will help us remain focused on Him. We know that Jesus is the Word become flesh, according to John 1:14. And in the church, the teacher's main role is to help us learn to know Him more. It's not just learning about Him. You catch the difference, right? We can know all about Jesus, but not really know Jesus. The teacher will help us to be able to have that connection. Again, moving back to this idea of going on a date with Jesus. There's a difference between friends just going out and going on a date, right? Now, when we commit our life to Christ, then all of a sudden it's different than just going on a date as trying to figure things out and going on a date with your wife. Amen? And so our spiritual life develops. And the teacher helps us to move along from maybe that very beginning of being introduced. And is this somebody I want to get to know more? To this idea of I'm willing now to commit my life to Him. It's that invitation that we have. The teacher helps us to see it and understand it. The teacher isn't able to do this on their own either. They can only do it because they know Him well and because the Holy Spirit dwells within them. Jesus makes this clear again as He prepares the disciples for His death in John 14. A little later in that chapter, He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." And so, as a teacher in the church, we have this amazing promise that as God works in us, He will bring us to those things that need to be revealed for His purpose. As a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher, when I stand up here and I look out over this wonderful group of individuals that are present here, I do not know what's going on in your mind right now. Some of you may be thinking, wow, you're doing a great job. Others of you may be thinking, I hope he gets over soon because the roast is going to burn. Others may be thinking, I wish he'd just quit rambling on. I mean, whatever, right? But there is one who is here who knows what you're thinking, who knows what's in your heart. And there are times that I have stood up here and preached a sermon, and somebody who come up to me afterwards and say that the word that I brought was specifically for a need or a struggle or a blessing that they either needed to hear or be confronted with, and I had no idea about it. It wasn't me. It was the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit. So we see that the teacher must be led by the Holy Spirit as well. Any good teacher will tell you that to be a good teacher, they must never cease learning themselves. So good teachers are also good learners. Amen. In the life of the church, this is key. It also carries with it a great responsibility to be a teacher in the life of the church. James reminds us of this with this very sobering warning. He says, "Dear brothers, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly." The next point. The teacher brings alive the Word of God in such a way that the Word begins to transform our lives. For the teacher in the church, transformation is the goal. Amen? for each of us to be transformed, to be made new, to become more like Jesus every day. This is what drives the teacher in the church. It's not just imparting knowledge, it's inviting others to grow in wisdom. Now, Jesus is the model teacher, both before and after the resurrection. After his resurrection, before he appeared to everyone, he appeared to two of the disciples who had not heard that he was yet alive. As they were walking along on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to them without them knowing it was him. And he teaches them. He talks to them along the way. In Luke 24:32, it says, after it was revealed to them by Jesus, when he broke the bread and ate with them, they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: "For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." So the teacher keeps us grounded in the Word and with sound doctrine. Again, the teacher is just one of these five-fold ministries according to Ephesians chapter 4. So let's review just quickly here the five different ministries, according to Ephesians 4. The first is apostle. And the apostle governs, gives leadership, oversight, direction in the life of the church. Next is the prophet, and the prophet guides. The prophet can see this connection oftentimes between the spiritual and the physical. The prophet can sometimes see beyond what we see and invite us to see a bit of what God is doing and how God is breaking into our lives. And then the evangelist. The evangelist's role is to gather, to bring others into the fold, to proclaim the gospel so that others might come and be a part of the family. And then there is the pastor. And the pastor's role is to guard, like the shepherd, right? The shepherd is the one who takes care of the sheep, that feeds them to make sure that they're well fed and moves them. And then today we've talked about the teacher who helps to ground and keep us centered in the Word of God. The point of all of this is that the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher are supposed to work together in the body of Christ, in the local church. One office cannot do all of these things. And so this requires a change of thinking from the traditional role of the single church leader to a manifold group of leadership within the life of the church, where these different gifts are recognized and seen within the body of Christ, and each are given the opportunity to do what God has called them to do. We need to allow the apostle to survey the spiritual landscape and to lay the track for the church to run and move on. We must allow the prophet to keep us on track, to continually stroke the fire of our spirit so that we can continue to move forward in the journey that God is calling us to. We need to allow the evangelist the freedom to invite people into the life of the body of Christ and allow them to come in no matter where they're at so that they can begin to be transformed and changed. We need to allow the pastor to shepherd, to care for, to comfort the sheep rather than expecting him to do all of these things. And finally, we need to allow the teacher to teach until the students have learned what is being taught and it begins to change who they are. At the bottom of your bulletin outline, there's a web address. I tried to put it up on the screen, but it's not very easy to see. Go in advance, Matthias. Let's see if it'll come up. Yeah, it's really difficult to see. There it is. It's still difficult to see. But if you go to this fivefoldministry.com website, you'll see this. And you can actually go ahead and click either on the left or the right. There's a short version and there's a long version. And if you click on it, it'll go through and you start just seeing these very simple questions, and there's a scale, and you take them. At a max, it would take you 20 minutes to go through the whole thing. And that's really, I mean, if you read really, really slow, it would take you that long. I encourage you, I'd like to invite you to go and to do this and answer those questions, and at the very end, it will give you kind of an outline so you can see where your gift fits, where you are in relationship to this fivefold. I encourage you to do that. And as the Lord leads, let me know. I'm interested to hear and see how we're fit together as the body of Christ here at East Bend in regards to these gifts. And I also invite you to pray. If you have felt, again, drawn towards one of these five areas, then ask the Lord why that is and what it is that He might be inviting you to or calling you to do and to be within the life of His church here at East Bend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this day of Pentecost, we thank You for the outpouring of Your Holy Spirit, and we recognize that in this gift, O Lord, You are calling us to be transformed and changed, to be challenged, to be nurtured, but also, O God, to be used by You for Your kingdom purpose. Continue to fit us together. Lord, we know that You see that which is yet to come, that which is going on right now, Lord. You hear and know what's even happening within our hearts and our minds just now. Lord, we surrender ourselves to You and pray that through the anointing and the working of Your Holy Spirit, that You would draw out from within us the gifts that are needed to accomplish Your good and perfect and pleasing will. Lord, we know that we do not exist here unto ourselves and for ourselves, that You have called us and put us together as the church here at East Bend to accomplish Your will in the world in which we live. Help us to be a city on a hill. Help us to be a light that shines brightly. Help us to be a place where people recognize us as a hospital for sinners instead of a hotel for saints. Lord, we surrender ourselves to You and trust that You will fit us together to do Your good and perfect and pleasing will. Thank You again, Lord, for these gifts. May we use them in accordance with Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.